preaching tonight on the concept of grace is greater. Grace is greater. How many believe grace is greater than anything? Amen? Greater than anything. And I want to take our text tonight from Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned." Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. I really like that. There's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater, now look at that, I want you to grab that, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Amen. I love that part in that verse, that God's grace is greater. Verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Touch your neighbor and say, "I'm right with God." Amen. Being made right with God. That's what the gift of grace is all about, to make you right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater, here it is again, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful scripture? Amen. Powerful. Let's pray. Father, it is a great honor to be in your house tonight. And I need your anointing to preach your word. I know that your word is anointed already in itself. I ask for a special anointing tonight. Lord, that as I expound what you've placed in my heart, that it would enlighten us and strengthen us and equip us for your ministry and for your purpose, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. God bless you. Grace is greater. When I was a young kid, I grew up in an Italian family, and pretty much if you were to ask me what we were having for dinner, it had something to do with pasta. And we ate pasta in different forms all the time. You want spaghetti? Yeah, we got that. You want ravioli? We got it. I mean, that's what we ate as a child all the time. And, you know, I ate it so much that in my home today, I don't want to eat spaghetti. I ate so much pasta growing up that it just got old. And so one of my daughters loves pasta. I mean, just loves spaghetti. And I tell my wife, "No spaghetti, no spaghetti." But every now and then I have to muster through eating spaghetti because my daughter has to eat spaghetti. My wife loves spaghetti, but I grew up eating it all the time. And so it just grew old to me. And you know, I think that happens a lot of times in Christianity. When we mention the word grace, we almost seem as so familiar with it. Oh, we're going to talk about that again tonight. Almost like it's an old meal, if you would think about it. We treat it sometimes like it's an old meal, like something we've heard forever and something we've known forever. But you got to realize this, that none of you tonight would be here if grace did not exist. Amen. Some of you would have already been in the grave if grace did not exist. But it's by this wonderful word that we have of grace, this idea of grace, that we have this access, this way of coming to God that we never had before. One of the greatest feelings in life is not necessarily the feeling of just coming to church and feeling religious, but the greatest feeling a person can ever experience in God is feeling like everything is right between you and God. Amen? Nothing is better than that. Nothing is better. Oh, man, I remember I first got saved. Man, I went home on cloud nine because everything was made right between me and God. And, oh, man, I felt good inside. I felt brand new. I felt like a new creature. Everything was wonderful about that day. And it all revolves around one word, church, grace. And grace isn't an old meal. It should be a fresh meal every day. It should be something we embrace every day, enjoy every day, because grace is greater than anything and everything you can experience in Christianity. Hallelujah. Amen? Grace is greater. Hebrews 12, 15, I put it up on the board for you. Hebrews 12, 14 says, 15 says this, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Look after yourselves. Look after one another so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Man, that's a powerful verse. How important is the grace of God? We need to look after one another so that we are embracing the grace of God. God's grace is greater than anything, and we can't treat it like it's old news. You know, one thing we have in Pentecostal ranks is we have a lot of, we preach a whole lot on topics and other scriptures, and we try to sometimes avoid the whole grace realm, because what's going on today is we have a misrepresentation of the concept of grace today. Grace has become this license to sin. Grace has become a badge that says, I don't have to live righteous or holy. God's grace covers it. Therefore, I can do what I want, live how I want, act like I want. God's grace is sufficient. It's all right. And they take the idea of grace and they make it this badge that allows a person to participate in ungodly things. But that's not how grace is supposed to be. Grace is not about a license to sin or giving us a right to be unholy. Unrighteous. No. Grace, it puts us in a realm with God where we are right. How dare we get in the realm of God where we are right and we choose to not live that way of being right before God? How dare we say that it's okay? We need to look after one another and watch one another and protect one another that we don't fail to receive the grace of God. Amen? We don't fail to receive it. Twice, Paul said in the text I read to you, twice he said, greater is God's wonderful grace. Greater. Greater. That means it's greater than your problems. It's greater than your weakness. It's greater than your failures. It's greater than your shortcomings. It's greater than the secret sins you hide in your heart. It's greater than anything you've ever done in your past. God's grace is greater. Whatever you've done and wherever you've been, some people have said, well, I've even had them tell me, well, I don't come to church because the roof will cave in. You know what I tell them? I go, listen, we reinforce the beams for people just like you. Amen? Because that's how I was when I came in. I came in dirty. I came in unholy. And God's grace, I found out, is greater than any sin I've ever committed. Matter of fact, the Bible says that where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. That means grace is greater. Amen? It's greater than anything you've ever done. And man, I'm so glad that God gives us grace to overcome instead of allowing us to live in a life of defeat. It's by grace are you saved. That unearned favor, you didn't earn this. You didn't become saved because you came to church. You didn't become saved because you started following a few tenets of the faith and thought, okay, I'm saved. You became saved because you took a hold of the grace of God and you said, Lord, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And grace entered your life and gave you access to things you never thought you could have access to. Amen. I like what Chuck Watkins, our men's minister, said at a men's breakfast one time. He was talking about mercy and grace, and this is what he said. It really blessed me. He said, mercy is God not giving me what I deserve, and grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Isn't that powerful? Mercy is God giving me what I deserve, giving me, not giving me what I deserve. Because how many of you know we deserve hell? I don't care if you were good all your life. Nothing we had attained to his righteousness. God's mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and God's grace is him giving us what we don't deserve. That undeserved favor of God to be in his presence, to be in his holy kingdom, and to worship him freely. That grace, as Paul was heard from the very voice of God, is sufficient for you. Amen. It is. When you're falling apart, guess what's going to bring you through? Grace is, amen? When everything is a mess, what's going to bring you through? Grace is. When you make mistakes, Christian, what's going to be there to pick you up? Oh, yes, grace is. Because grace is greater. If I want to put this in your heart, that grace is the overwhelming factor of everything. The only reason you can prophesy is because of grace. The only reason you can speak in tongues is because of grace. The only reason that you can access the realm of being healed is because of grace. The only reason you can have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is because of grace. But I want you to know the overwhelming arching factor that puts you into the realm of God is grace itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He deserves it all. D.L. Moody, when he preached his first message on grace, he studied and he was diligent in his study, and he was so overwhelmed by the study of grace that on his way to the place to preach, he stopped several men and he asked them, hey, do you have the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? He said by his own admission that some of those men looked at him like he was a weirdo. This guy's crazy, stopping me, asking me, do you have grace in your life? He got up with a fiery, fervent message to preach, and he preached the message of grace, and the people sat there, and he said, he asked in the altar call, if anybody wants to know more about this grace that I've preached, please stay here. He dismissed the congregation, and to D.L. Moody's surprise, everybody got up and began to walk out. He realized at that moment nobody in that congregation wanted the grace of Jesus Christ. He closed his Bible. He got his notes. He began to walk out. There at the back of a furnace was a man whose life was wasted. And he was weeping by the furnace. And he said, Mr. Moody, I want to know more about this grace. I want to know more. And so Moody sat down with him, began to talk, found out that this man was an alcoholic. He had ruined his life. He lost his job, lost his wife and kids, and was living on the streets, and just happened to stumble in that night and heard the wonderful grace of God. That night, D.L. Moody put him in a home. He became one of D.L. Moody's greatest workers in his church, all because of one word. Grace. Grace. For by grace are you saved? I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by the grace of God. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're saved by the grace of God. And it's almost blasphemous to say I'm saved because I'm good. No. I do good things because he saved me. Amen? Because he saved me. Now listen, I want to talk a little bit, just for a little while, on what makes grace greater, okay? What makes grace greater? The first thing I want you to notice is that grace is greater in its application. Grace is greater in its application. Let me explain this to you. The law of God meant if you did these certain things, then you could have fellowship with God. But the way grace is applied to your life is not by something you do. It's by something God does. And so when God applies grace to your life, or you receive the gift of grace from God, and we call it just, Paul calls it just that, it is a gift. It's not something you deserved or something you worked for or something you earned because you followed some tenets of faith. It's something you were given by God. It's a gift. It's like unwrapping a gift on Christmas morning, and you open it and you're like, oh, I can't believe that I got this. This is what I really wanted. You didn't deserve it, but that's what you got anyway. That's what grace is like. When God gives you grace, He applies it to your life just like a gift is applied to your life. It's not something you get or earn, it's something you receive. Some people receive better than others. Amen? There's those prideful people who can't receive a gift and they hardly appreciate what is given because they want to earn it. Come on, men, you know who I'm talking to. I don't need your charity. I can earn it. I'll work hard for it. I'm a hard worker. I don't need it. That kind of stubbornness can stop us from obtaining the grace of God. Because you have to receive it. You have to receive it. You see, grace is a gift. You have to you say, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. You have to literally say that. I'll take it. I will take it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll take it. I'll take it. I want it right now. Give me that grace, God, that grace, that unmerited favor that you offer to all those that you love. Give me that unmerited favor. Give me that grace. I'll take hold of it. I'll open that gift, and I will appreciate it.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes.
Have you ever had kids appreciate the box the gift came in more than they appreciated the gift?
Yes.
My kids are notorious for that. They get a box and make a tent in the living room, and the gift I got them sits in the room. They never touch it. That's a lack of appreciation, right? They don't ever examine it, play with it, or enjoy it. Listen, we ought to appreciate this wonderful gift. It's not an old meal. It's not something that's old to us. It's a fresh new thing every morning. Every morning you wake up and you're still breathing. It is all because of the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all because of that. The only reason that you're still in church tonight, oh, hallelujah, the only reason you're still in church tonight is because God has given you grace. Amen. The law means if you obey it, then you got it. If you obey it, you can have it. But the truth is nobody could obey it. Everybody kept failing. And so the Bible teaches us that Paul said the law was a schoolmaster, that it taught us that we needed Jesus Christ. We needed a Savior. It taught us that we needed the grace of God. And so to try to say, I'm going to do it through the law, which lacked the power to give you the ability to walk in God's kingdom, is a slap in God's face. It's all by the grace of God. Amen. All by the grace of God. Grace is not only greater in its application, it is greater in its power. It is greater in its power. Let me read to you what John Piper said. I like this. He said, grace is not simply leniency when we have sinned. Grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. Isn't that good? Grace is power, not just pardon. You want to know how you operate in the things of God, the spiritual things of God? It's by the grace of God. If God speaks into your ear and talks to you about His wonderful blessings in your life, you want to know how that comes to you? Through the grace of God. Everything we have in God is all by the grace of God. Think about this. Grace is greater in its power to cleanse. When the law could not cleanse you, grace cleansed you. When you were lost and undone without God, when you couldn't come in, when you didn't know how to worship, some of you were so spiritually blind, you didn't know nothing until one moment You got a glimpse of the grace of God, and you heard something that told you that Jesus wants to forgive you of all those sins. And when you fell down on your knees, or you cried out and said, Jesus, I accept you. I say yes to you. Forgive me. When you said that, grace's power came into your life and made you a new creature. You were not the same as you used to be. Amen. You were changed. You were cleansed. And doesn't it feel good to be right? Hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good? There's nothing like it. I'm telling you, drugs can't get it to you. Alcohol can't reach it. Smoking won't make it. And lust ain't going to fulfill it. Nothing can outdo what it's like to feel like everything is right. Amen. I stand here tonight blessed because everything's right. Yeah. Amen. I'm cleansed. I'm pure. I'm holy. Not by my merit, but by the merit of Jesus Christ who has given me this gift. And I say, give it to me, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. I'll take all of it, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Give me some more of it. Amen. Let me feel that wonderful blessing of grace. Let me feel it. Let me embrace it. Let me hold on to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Not only is grace greater in its power to cleanse, but grace is greater in its power to motivate us to walk in righteousness. You remember before you were saved, you had no desire for spiritual things.
Yeah, right.
Very little desire at all.
Right.
Matter of fact, coming to church was boring. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Church isn't boring. You're boring. Amen? You haven't found out why this is good yet. Amen? You haven't figured this out. This is really, really good stuff. But when you received the grace of God, remember what it was like? You just wanted to do whatever you could to please God. You didn't care what it was. You didn't care who it offended. You didn't care how hard it was. God, I just want to do what you want me to do. Because grace gives you a power to walk in righteousness, realms of righteousness you've never walked in before. And so that power of grace that comes in your life transforms the way you think. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And grace is the power that transforms our minds, that transforms our hearts, causes us to want to walk in righteousness. It's like a man who's been guilty of crimes and deserves to be in prison. But when he is pardoned, he goes out there and he says, I'm not going to go out there and keep sinning. I'm not going to get in this position again. I'm going to do my best. Do my best to be in a right place. He's not going to, the person that's pardoned wants to just be right and stay right. The grace of God is greater because it causes us to triumph. It causes us to triumph. The end of verse 17 says this. It says, I'll just read 17 to you. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. Grace is greater in its triumph over sin. You see, you are made victorious. You have become victorious because of the grace of God. Yea, you are more than conquerors through Him. Notice that word, through Him. You are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. You got power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. You've got strength to walk in this thing because God gives you grace to be triumphant. He didn't give you grace so you can mumble your way into heaven. He wants you to be triumphant. Amen. When the devil attacks you, he doesn't want you to feel like it's all over, but you need to let the grace of God take its full effect in your life and know that you are victorious by the grace of God. Amen? You are more than a conqueror. You pull down strongholds. The devil cannot fight you if you rely on the grace of God. You want to know what happens when the devil comes to fight you? He fights on God's turf because God has made you his property. Hallelujah. I always love that. When the devil fights me, I go, hey, you're on God's turf now, buddy. You don't even know this terrain. And God has a way of changing it quickly. Amen. We are triumph. We triumph in Christ by the grace of God. We are more than victorious in God. And why is it that men and women who have this wonderful grace are living defeated Christian lives? Sometimes it's because they don't know how triumphant they are. Sometimes they haven't learned that God doesn't throw them away the moment they make a mistake.
Yeah. Thank God.
There's so many Christians beating themselves up, and they're letting it, they're making, the devil's telling them that's God. You made mistakes. You see what you did? Look how bad you are. Well, I could tonight go through the Bible and time would fail me to do so. Go through this wonderful book. Just read the stories of Jesus and show you how powerful grace is. How powerful it is that it causes us to triumph in God. You are more than victorious. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm victorious. I'm victorious. You're victorious because of Jesus Christ tonight. Because of Jesus Christ, you're victorious. Not because of anything else, but Jesus Christ. And you should hold on to that fact in your life. Don't let anybody steal it from you. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And he goes through this list of things, height, depth, peril, sword, sickness. I mean, it goes through these things that you would think might separate us, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Don't let the enemy let you feel like you're separated. Let God's grace overcome in your life and live a triumphant Christian life through the grace of God. Amen. Grace is greater in power because it causes us to triumph. It's greater in power because it cleanses us and it motivates us to live a righteous life. Let me read. Grace is also more powerful because it awakens us to spiritual realms otherwise unseen. Otherwise unseen. Remember the blindness of your life before salvation. You saw people praising God and thought, what kind of crazy people are these? Right? These guys are loons. Look at how they dance before the Lord and rejoice. What's wrong with these people? Why does that preacher shout like that? Why can't he just be quiet? Right? I mean, come on. I mean, how many have seen and heard these things? Why does it have to be like that? But you know what happens is once the grace of God is applied in your life, all of a sudden your eyes are open.
Right.
And then you understand why people are raising their hands. Right? Then you understand why they're clapping and maybe doing a little sway to the song. Maybe then you understand what it's like because you see people just go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're good to me. I praise you. You see that coming out of somebody and you understand it now because you have received that gift. Otherwise, it was unseen to you. You didn't know it existed. It was blind to you. You were so blind to God's greatness and his blessings until one day someone told you that Jesus has a gift. And you opened it. And when you saw what was inside, it was a brand new you. Hallelujah. A brand new you. It caused you to rejoice. It made you shout. It made you cry. It made you happy. I mean, you were just exuberant. Some of you probably didn't even know how to express it because it was just too good. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They're blinded. Do you know that your lost loved ones or the people around you are blinded to what you have? They're blinded to it. They don't know the power that it brings to their lives. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. For by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect." I pray that the grace of God in your life is not without effect. I pray that it affects the way you live,
yes.
The way you think,
yes.
The way you act,
yes.
Where you go, what you say.
Amen.
Paul said, "No, I worked harder than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me." The grace of God that was within me caused me to work harder than them all because God made me who I am. Do you realize tonight that your salvation, God has made you who you are?
Yes, I do.
And He wants to take you into deeper things and greater things in God. He wants to bless you like you've never been blessed before.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, "God wants to bless me." Now come on, say it like you mean it now. God wants to bless me. I know He wants to bless me. His thoughts are for my good and not for my evil. God wants to bless me. He doesn't want to curse me. He doesn't want to send me to hell. No, no, no. He did everything He could to keep me from that place. He doesn't want to throw me away. He doesn't want to get rid of me. No, my God loves me. My God loves me. Do you know that tonight? That your God loves you. He don't throw people away. He did so much. Oh, I want you to get this. God did so much just to have time with you that when He has you, He doesn't just throw you away when you make some little mistake. Grace is greater. It opens your eyes. Oh man, this is good. I used to sit on church pews with my grandma and think, these people are nuts. I used to sit there and say, I don't want to be like these people. I used to sit there and say, I'm not going to get fanatical like that. I used to say, I'm not ever going to get involved with the church. But then I opened up the gift. And when I saw what was inside, at that moment, I realized, this is why they shout. This is why they dance. This is what it's all about. The grace of God. Now, let me give you one last thought, and then I'm going to close. The grace of God is greater in its long suffering. When you read the Old Testament, you would sometimes read the Old Testament and you would probably see, you will see examples of God's grace and God's judgment. And oftentimes you see a lot of the judgment of God dealing with men and their sin pretty much immediately in a lot of places. And I've even asked God on occasion, God, I don't understand. It seems like in the New Testament, we see this patience, this long suffering. I was in prayer just 2 weeks ago and I was talking to God about this very thing. I read the story of where David's son was killed because of his sin. He lost his son as a result of his sin. And then afterwards, he had another son. And God told David, "I love this son." And they named him Solomon. From the same woman that he committed the sin with. You got a picture of judgment and a picture of grace in one simple story. And I fell down. I said, God, explain to me how I reconcile this story to a New Testament concept of grace. And the Holy Spirit put this in my heart, that in the New Testament, God doesn't see men. He sees His Son. He sees His Son. And how He honors His Son is by not judging you and giving you what you deserve.
Wow. Wow.
When God spoke that into my spirit, it brought into a new light and perspective of this wonderful time of grace. And how much advantage I have through the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, I have access to God. Do you know how powerful that word is? Access. There are places in America I don't have access to. I can't go into the secret files of the FBI and read the emails of Hillary Clinton. I can't do it. I'm sorry. It slipped out. It's election year. And I don't have access. Right? I don't have a way to get in. And so I don't have an access card. I don't have an ID card that says I have permission. But through Jesus Christ, I've got the greatest access card ever given to a human being on this earth. And that access is wonderful. It's great in its long suffering towards me. So that when I make a mistake, God doesn't have to judge me immediately. He's able to say, I forgive you, because he looks at his son. He's not looking at me. How fearful it must be to fall into the hands of a living God and not have the blood of Jesus Christ as your covering. How fearful that must be. I've heard stories of men who on their deathbed that ridiculed God, hated God. Matter of fact, Voltaire, a guy who said that the Bible would become a relic in his time. When he died, he cried out, oh Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, there's no salvation for me. And he died. Meeting God without the grace. What a scary place to be. In the Old Testament, you see God dealing with men pretty much abruptly a lot. In the New Testament, you see patience. There's still judgment in the New Testament, by the way. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in a church service. Hello? Amen? It's not that judgment of God is not there. It's that you see God's grace at work so heavily because Jesus paid a heavy price for its effect in your life. And so God honors his son. He honors his son by not giving you what you deserve because his son paid such a high price to give you what you don't deserve. The grace of God. It's greater. Greater than any sin, greater than any failure, greater than any mistake, it's greater. And when you're falling apart, it's still greater. It's always greater. God's grace is greater.